Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday, belated happy birthday to my big sister, Sheila G. Thank God for another opportunity to be on the air. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening in the D.C. metropolitan area. Expecting a little bit more snow in the early spring, but we say to God be the glory for all the great things He has done. And we're just excited about tonight's broadcast. We'll be talking about one of the things that really is important for anyone who's trying to head up organization or be a leader in any type of capacity, and that is knowing that we can't do it all by ourselves. And so tonight we want to talk about working together, and that you can't do it all by yourself. And so if you want to be a part of that conversation tonight, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And if you would like to be a part of the conversation, push 1, and we will get you on the air. But we are grateful for all of our very fine listeners who continue to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC. It's just been a blessing. We're going to be going on a year anniversary coming up in the end of April. And we're excited about it. Probably going to do a special show and just ask folks to call in and get some feedback of how they've enjoyed Pastors Aid CDC over the year. It's amazing to just think it's been going to be a whole year. And we're just grateful that God continues to bless us, continues to keep us online, and continues to keep us as being relevant in the lives of our community, particularly for the wellness of our community, connecting folks with resources for the wellness of our community. And, you know, just going through and digging into subjects that will help us to connect, you know, with some ideas and thoughts and people and, you know, situations that, you know, will help us develop and help our communities and families develop. And that's what, you know, we're doing here at Pastors Aid CDC, not only just on the air, but, you know, in the community, reaching out and touching bases with people and just, you know, trying to connect, you know, the right resource with the right individuals or individuals or groups, and, you know, giving aid and assistance where we can. And, you know, when we talk about working together, you can't do it all by yourself. It's one of the, I would say, character flaws of leaders, people in position, whatever capacity that people are in, is that you have I call it a gear. And as a leader, you have a gear. And, you know, sometimes your gear runs in a high capacity or a high level, and you're expecting everyone else to run at that gear also. But the reality is that a lot of times everyone is not as geared up as the leader, as the person that's in a position of leadership. And so that person that's in position of leadership is geared up as high as they can. I have to understand that every entity that's moving forward, every, you know, organization that's moving forward, can't move forward in that high gear. It takes a lot of gears to ramp up. If anyone's ever driven a car or a race car or a bicycle, that every gear is important. And so, you know, every leader has to recognize that there needs to be some collaboration. There needs to be people working together, because if you're at that high gear, you can't get there by yourself. There needs to be some other gears that are involved with keeping it and getting it up and moving. I was watching the NASCAR race before the broadcast, and just watching some of the parts and pieces that are needed just for a pit change. You have the driver in there. He's you know, circling the track at, close to 180 miles an hour. I'm not sure exactly how fast they go, but they go pretty fast. But, you know, he's the headlight, you know, the spotlight on the racetrack. He's the driver of the track. But in order for him to be successful, there's a lot that goes into that, as far as with, you know, the sponsorships, the money, the purchasing of the tires, the purchasing of the vehicles, the engine making, the aerodynamics, the crew chief, the spotter, the people that, you know, have logistics to get them to and from where they need to be. All of that, and I think at this particular time, the winner was Joe Gibbs Racing, and all of that has to go through in order to get them there, to get them set up, to get them, you know, ready to race. You know, all of that has to have people working together. And when one individual tries to run everything, what happens is parts and pieces get missed. And what happens is you're not as effective as an entity or an organization if you are trying to do everything by yourself. It's just not going to work. It's something where you might be working or you might be functioning, but you might not be being productive. In other words, there has to be a realization by the leadership that we need, or that you need other people working alongside you in order for it to be effective. And you just can't do it all by yourself. You have to realize that, and what you have to do is you have to pray, you have to research, you have to invest in getting people to come alongside you to help to get the things done in order for it to be productive. And it's not an easy task. It's particularly when you are in leadership and you know what you want to do, you know what needs to be done, and a lot of times you know how it needs to be done. But even knowing what to do and knowing how it needs to be done, you just can't do it all. And, you know, you have to, it's a humbling experience. I've been through it myself. It's a humbling experience to know what you want to get done, to know how to do it, but there's not enough hours in the day for you to be able to do it. And so what you have to do is you have to reach out to other individuals to work with you in order for it to get done and to be productive. And that's tough sometimes for a leader, because you have to relinquish some of your authority, or, if you will, your responsibility to someone else. And sometimes that's a little difficult. And what happens in corporate America, particularly, what happens is people that don't know how to relinquish that authority and responsibility and develop what we call a trust working relationship. What happens is the person becomes a micromanager. And what happens is when you have leadership that micromanages, what happens is the people that are being managed, they begin to not work well or resent the person in leadership from working with them as someone that's competent and that knows what they're doing. And what happens is if you have too much micromanagement, then what happens is people begin to go in different directions. Hold on a second, I think it's Red B on the line. Let me see if he's on the line. Is that you, Red B?
Yes, sir. Happy Sunday to you, Pastor C.
Happy Sunday to you. We were talking
Palm Sunday and everything.
Yeah. It was a good day. It was a good day.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yep. I said this time of year has rapidly approached us already. I said I can't believe the day was Palm Sunday and next Sunday's Easter. I said this year is going by fast.
zooming by.
Yeah.
What I was talking about tonight, Red B, is working together and realizing that you can't do it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about how when you're in a position of leadership, that the humbling reality is that you might know what to do, you might know how to do it, but the reality is that there's not enough hours in the day for you to be able to do it. And so you have to, as a person in leadership, you have to learn how to delegate. You have to learn how to have a trusting relationship with others to get the job done. Because if you're just doing everything, you can do it, but you're not going to be effective. And what happens is you become a micromanager. And when you become a micromanager, what that does is that it creates a relationship where the people feel that, you know, they don't think that leadership thinks they're competent or can do their job, and it creates a position of resentment. And then eventually what happens is the people that are working for leadership begin to start seeking a position elsewhere because of the pressure or the unfairness of leadership. And so what leadership has to recognize is that we have to work together and that we can't do it all by ourselves.
That's right. That's right. You know, and like you say, you know, in any aspect of leadership, whether you're talking, you know, business, whether you're talking church, ministry, whatever, you know, leadership is so very important. And one of the things that good leaders must understand is that they feel that they establish a sense of trust between, you know, themselves and the people that are under them or the people that they're leading. But then they also have to have, you know, a sense of competency that, you know, the people that have been entrusted to me, I know that they have the ability to do the job, you know. So a lot of times, you know, when you get into that micromanagement piece, you know, the people feel like, you know, we're professionals, we know what we're doing, or we're experienced, we know what we're doing, but we're being treated like we don't know what we're doing. You know, why do we have to have somebody looking over our shoulder? Why do we have to have somebody questioning us? Why do we have to have somebody telling us what to do, how to do it, and all these different things? And what happens is you start to have a lot of resentment. And like you just said, people will go to other places, whether they find a new job, whether they go to a different church, whether they step out on their own and start their own business or whatever. But everybody should want to feel that in whatever environment has been established, that everybody is responsible individuals, whether they're, you know, a worker, whether they're a leader, or whatever. Everybody knows what role to play so that the machine, as I like to call it, can run smooth.
Right.
You know, he put so much attention on one aspect of something, you know, it's not going to run smooth. You know, so you just have to trust that you have enough good people around you that have been trained, enough good leaders around you that know how to let people do their jobs, and, you know, you have a positive work environment. You know, I work in so many schools, you know, in my years of teaching, I work at about 4 or 5 different schools. And none of them have been the same. And the reason why none of them have been the same is because you have different types of leaders. You know, and some leaders are like hands-on and know exactly what's going on. And people are kind of resentful of that because, like, look, we're all professionals. We all have been trained to know what we need to do. We know how to run our classrooms. We know how to teach our kids. We know how to do that. You know, and what happened is that causing a low morale amongst the school. People are not happy, people leaving, people fussing, people complaining. They're not working on other, you know, leaders in schools where they've been more hands off. It was like, I'm here. If you have any questions or you need help with stuff, come see me. But we trust that you know what you're doing. That's why you're in this position. So, you know, leadership is so very, very important. And, you know, like you say, you can't, as a leader, think that just because you know how to do it, that you can do it all by yourself. You know, we all are dependent on somebody, you know, at the end of the day to get the job done. And I think that's the mindset that we have, is that, you know, we're just one piece of the puzzle. We're one part of the body, but we're all dependent on one another to make the whole thing work, and that's how we have to look at it.
And you know, that's a kingdom principle. You know when you look at things like that, that's you know what the Bible was teaching. I believe it was in Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where it says we're all part of one body, many members of one body, and
it was one body.
You know, everybody can't be the head, but the head can't get anywhere without the foot.
Absolutely.
And you know, when you're saying we need to work together, you can't do it by yourself. That's a classic, like I said, a kingdom principle. But in the areas of ministry and business, I think you find too many leaders that hold on too tight to the reins, and it's like, If they hold on too tight, then I think that stifles creativity. It stifles the type of forward looking that, you know, keeps organizations going forward. And if you're that type of leader that holds on too tight, then what happens is you become irrelevant in whatever organization you're in. And what happens is other ministries or other organizations that are allowing creativity or allowing people to work and come up with ideas and generate things, then they begin to move forward, and then you stay stuck, and then you're like, you know, what did I do wrong, or what haven't I done? And, you know, you look around, but you won't face the reality is that, you know, it starts at the top. You need to look at the top. You need to look at what you're doing as a leader to say, hey, you know, I can't do this all this by myself. You know, I need to work together with some people to allow their ideas, their comments, their energy to come in. I'm the leader, but I don't have to, you know, do everything and think everything is interdependent on me. We're interdependent on each other, and that's what makes the whole thing move forward. But somewhere along the line, these great creatives, these great, you know, visionaries, these great people that have these ideas, far too many times when they're in leadership, but I don't know if it's a thing of them scared that someone's going to take over or someone's going to move them out the way, but it seems like they just, there's you know, with this great, you know, vision, this great leadership, that comes sometimes with this paranoia that comes along that, you know, they got to keep everything to themselves, everything under wraps, and try to do everything themselves. I don't know what it is. What do you think it is, Rev B?
You know, I mean, it could be a lot of that. I mean, you know, and I guess, you know, you don't want to have mutiny in the workplace or mutiny in the church or whatever where, you know, you feel like the parishioners or, you know, the co-workers or whatever are going to try to take over the establishment. So sometimes, you know, leaders can have somewhat of a, you know, a paranoid insecure disposition to feel like, you know, I got to stay on top of things because I don't want to lose control. But, you know, I feel if you empower the people that you work with, you know, and you establish, you know, that, yeah, I'm your boss, yeah, you're my coworker, I'm your pastor, yeah, you're my member, so on and so forth. But, you know, if you establish a healthy relationship, you know, that position struggle doesn't come, you know, into play. Everybody just does their job and, you know, and you operate, you know, in that manner. But, you know, you're absolutely right, though. There are a lot of leaders, you know, who display a lot of insecurity, you know. They don't want you to do but so much. You know, they just got to have, like, that sense of control. Like, if they just give you more responsibility and, you know, if they let you do a little more or let you bring an idea to the table, they feel like, you know, they're losing control. But, you know, I say, you know, if you know who you are and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you shouldn't be worried about that. But, you know, like you say, there are some leaders who display that. And I first had it worked under pastors who've been like that. Straight paranoid. You know, they don't want nobody, don't preach too long, or don't preach about this, or don't say this,
yeah,
or don't say that. Or, you know, and I'm saying to myself, I'm like, you're the pastor. God sent you here.
Right.
You know, why are you worried about, you know, little things or minute things? You know, it was just kind of like, you know, they were just living on edge.
Right.
You know, that they really just couldn't be, you know, the pastor of the church and just let things grow and develop. They just had to have their hand in every little thing that went on in the church because they were scared that, you know, they were going to lose control or something was going to happen without their knowledge. But I said, if you teach your members the way to do things, you don't have anything to worry about. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, if you train them, they'll act appropriately.
and when you hold on too tight, what happens is you stunt the growth of members. I think you really do yourself a disservice, whether it's members of the church or whether it's in business. I think you stunt the creativity, because what I found is in leadership, if you don't allow that creative mind to be able to, okay, I know how to do this, I know my job, I know how to, you know, function in this, you know, this is my gift or this is my, what I've been trained in. What happens is if you begin to stunt that, what happens is I've seen people shut down. And that's something that's really dangerous to any organization, is when you have someone with a great potential, a great gift, but because the leadership is not trying to work with them or trying to do it all, is people shut down. And what you have is you have a whole group of people with all this great potential who are shut down, and they're going to do the bare minimum. They're going to show up. They're going to say, I'm here, and that's going to be it. And what's happened is then everything else around that organization or that ministry, it begins to start imploding. It begins to start coming in on itself.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, as well as I know, Pastor C, that, you know, when people go to church or when people come to work, they want to feel like they're playing an important role in whatever's going on. That, you know, what I'm doing counts or what I'm doing makes a difference. You know, that I can come and present new ideas about different things to try and different things to do, and it's not going to be shot down or it's not, you know, going to be looked at like, you know, we don't need that or we're not trying to go into that direction. So, you know, and you want to allow your members or whoever your employers, your employees to grow. You know, you want to develop them and train them and give them new work experiences and you know, have them work on different programs and stuff in the church to give them that experience so that, you know, they can be well-rounded where they can say, hey, I can do this. If somebody's out, I can fill in for the day. Or if somebody leaves, I can take over that position until we find somebody else to fill it. And that's what you want to do. You know, you want to train your people to be, you know, to be well-rounded so they can do anything and everything within inside of that ministry or within inside of that, you know, organization. You know, and you want to, you know, you want to develop that. You know, give them confidence. Let them know that we believe in you. Let them know that, you know, you trust them, that you want to see them, you know, move up. You know, like I say, because leaders are not going to be leaders forever. You know, and the sad part is that, you know, as a leader, the best thing you can do is start trying to train people now.
Well, there you go.
To be able to take over those leadership positions, you know, when your time comes either to move on or you retire or whatever, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, just leave any organization or ministry without a leader or somebody who's been trained to take over, because then
you meddling with the black church now.
Right. You know, then what happens? There you go. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, the black church, the pastor, he's gonna die in office. He ain't gonna retire, he ain't gonna leave no
he's not gonna leave anybody in place. Exactly.
and that's
one of the most selfish things that you can do. I mean, even if, you know, the person that you're training is not going to be, you know, the next pastor, but at least if something happens to the current pastor and there's no one in place, at least you can say, hey, I've trained Reverend Stewart, or I've trained Pastor C. I've trained whoever to take over and be able to fulfill the duties of the position until we find out which direction we're going to go in. You know, because the part is, you know, the sad thing to see in any church is when, you know, something happens to the pastor unexpectedly or whatever, and the church has no leader to step in to keep the church moving in the right direction. Because then what happens is you got a whole bunch of chiefs and no Indians, and you know how that is. Everybody comes out the woodworks trying to be shot callers now, you know. Deacons, trustees, and ushers, and choir members, and, you know, just everybody's just trying to, you know, put their foot in the door to, you know, act like they want to be the one in charge. But if something's already been established, if something happens to the pastor, whatever, then we know X, Y, and Z will take over until, you know, the church, you know, moves into the process to find somebody to replace that person.
There's no succession planning in churches or businesses. You got to have some type of succession planning where the leader is going out, that there's been a plan that is put in place that, you know, when that person's going out, you know, that someone can step in. That's you know, for successful organizations, and you see it. Churches, you see it in businesses where the person, you know, is a leader, has been a leader for such a long time. I've seen pastors where they're so old, you know, but you know, they won't even let somebody else pray, you know, because they got to do it all. And, you know, membership starts waning, you know, people start leaving the church, or in business, you know, business starts going down. But, you know, this is the person in leadership that thinks they can do it all. They don't want to work with anybody because, you know, they think that that's going to make them look lesser in somebody's eyes. And instead of saying that, you know, this is a great organization, let's keep it being great even after I'm no longer able to do it, you know, because we provide a great service, you know, whether it's in business, whether it's in ministry. But it just seems like for leaders, that's something that's really hard to grasp.
It is. It is. You know, and, you know, I had a pastor, you know, that I was under. He was a pastor for, you know, God knows, like over 40 years, and I thought the world of him. But the one thing that made him great was that he made other people around him better.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
He didn't let the preachers just sit in the pulpit. There was something that you needed to be doing every Sunday, whether you were doing the order of service, whether you were praying, whether you were reading the scripture, whether you were helping with communion or helping with baptism, if you were upstairs in the children's church preaching, you know, he always made sure that, you know, there was something for you to do. And, I mean, he always made sure that, you know, the preachers and whoever was up under him were getting better, that they were going to grow, that they were going to develop, you know, that they were going to get the experience that they would need to help them in ministry. And that's the way that I look at it, that, you know, a great leader is not really determined on what he does, but I think it's more so about how he helps to develop those, you know, that are around him, you know. You know, it's like your offspring. How good is, you know, how do you tell a tree? You tell a tree by the fruit that it bears, by its offspring. That's how you know whether or not a tree is good or not. You know, I could be the biggest tree on the block, but guess what? Don't mean nothing if I'm not producing anything. And,
absolutely.
You know, and that's the same thing with leadership, is that, you know, leadership means absolutely nothing if, you know, there's no fruit, you know, to bear witness of what you've done. And the fruit is, you know, how have you developed the people who are around you? You know, your the people that either work under you or, you know, the ministries in your church or whatever. How have those people grown? How have those people developed since you've been in, you know, since you've been, you know, the leader or the pastor of the church? You know, that's what, you know, where the real evidence of a good leader is. That's definitely where it is.
And then, you know, we can go down, you know, the list. You know, we started with the head. You know, it's appropriate to start with the head. But you got to go down the list, and, you know, the individuals of the puzzle, they have to have that understanding also that you know, working together, it is for the benefit of the whole organization, and you can't have lone rangers, you know, within the organization, and you know, having that understanding that, you know, they can't do it all, because sometimes when other people, you know, the leadership says, okay, we want to have other people, you know, cross-train or work with you, that's like a red flag in any organization. You have somebody that's been doing something for 3 or 4 years, and then you have the leadership say, hey, we're going to get them to come in, and they're going to do some stuff, some training, and you know, work with you, or let them do, oh, my gosh, in the Black Baptist Church, oh, my gosh, to let somebody that's been doing a program for 10 years and have somebody else come in and do a program, oh, my gosh, that's like sacrilege. That's like suicide, you know. It's like, I've been doing it this way for 10 years, and now you're going to ask her? She's only been at the church for two years, and, you know, how are you going to let her come in or him come in? And the same thing in business, in corporate America. You know, you've been at this job, you know, whether you're over accounting or whether you're the paralegal or you're the attorney, and now you got a new attorney coming in from fresh out of, you know, fresh passing the bar. And now you're going to put him, you know, in the same position as me. How dare you? It's tough, man, when you don't want to work together and think you can do it all by yourself.
Yeah, it's tough. And, I mean, you know, and that, you know, you bring up another good point, you know, Pastor C, is that, you know, with with the way society is changing, I mean, whether it's business or ministry, is that, you know, we got to realize that, you know, we got to be open to change. You know, you just can't be doing the same thing year after year and think, you know, that it's going to continue to grow and be fruitful and prosper, because it's not. I mean, because times are changing, the processes of doing things are changing, you know, people's perspective and outlook on certain things are different. And so, you know, the way churches were 10 years ago, even, or 15
right.
years ago, are nowhere what they are now. You know, the way businesses and corporations are run now, I mean, it's no longer manual labor. You know, it's only a few jobs that still have manual labor. Very few.
Right.
Everything else is you know, computer-based,
technology-based,
whatever technology, and you got to know how to run that stuff. You know?
Exactly.
It's like you got to know how to run the programs and all that other stuff, and, you know, the technology will take care, you know, of the manual stuff, but you still got to have that know-how. So, you know, there's
right.
certain skills and certain knowledge that you have to have and understand that, you know, the way we did it, you know, a long time ago is it's not going to work now. You know, it's definitely not going to work now. And we have to be able to keep an open mind to say, you know what, let me just be open to this and be receptive.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
I give it
honest. Instead of trying to just be in shutdown mode and be like, nah, I'm going to keep doing it this way. We done did it this
right.
way. We didn't always sing this song for communion. Well, you can sing another one. They're going to kill you. You know what I mean? But that's
yeah.
how we are, man. We just stuck. We just get
yeah.
stuck in our way. We get stuck in tradition. And it's just like, how you gonna expect the church to grow if you're not open to new ways of doing things, whether it's praise and worship or
Uh-oh.
Different ways of ministry or whatever.
Meddling.
I said, you know,
you got to
be open.
it's something, but when you look at that, it all boils down to, again, if you're not working together and you have a mindset, I can do it by myself, you're really hindering progress. You know, the leadership can say, hey, you know, this is the vision, I'm going to delegate this, and he delegated, and then that one person, they become the lone ranger. They become. I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen in corporate America. I've seen it happen in ministry. Well, that person, they think, you know, because the pastor told them, okay, you're. I want you to head up this ministry, that they just try to take over. Or I've seen in corporate America where they said, okay, I want you to, you know, take over, you know, purchasing or this, and they just become like little kings, little gods, you know, and you're like, wow, you know, they've been delegated, but they haven't been made CEO of the company. You know, hold up, give up on some of that, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but that's the mindset that they have, you know, like they the little HNIC, not the big HNIC, you know what I'm saying?
That's kind of, but you're right. You see it all the time. You know, Pastor told me firsthand he want me to run.
There you go. There
I'm
you
like,
go.
Oh, Lord. You know, it's the next thing you know, it's like, you know, they get up and start talking crazy and start. I'm like, you get one little Sunday school lesson and now it's like now you're on top of the world and you don't know nobody and can't nobody tell you nothing. But it's just amazing how, you know, some people can just take that and it just go straight to their head and, you know, now it's like, wow.
Yeah, and nobody can do it. Nobody can do it like they can do it. It's like, wait a minute. You know, just because you do it that way doesn't mean it's the only way that there's other ways to do it. And, you know, that becomes dangerous in an organization. You have to be so careful when you're working with other people to understand that your way is not the only way and that you might not know as much as the other person. That person can help you to understand it better. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, blessed to be in a position, you know, in the secular world and in the spiritual realm to be in a position of leadership.
And one of the biggest things, biggest challenges is being a pastor or being, you know, in charge of operations, you know, with commercial real estate, is to get people to see the big picture. And when you begin to start sitting down with people and letting them know this is what the big picture is, what I try to do is I try to take it from the lowest on the, where it meets the rubber on the road, all the way back up to the corporate person that's in charge, and try to get everyone in the organization to understand why everyone in the organization is doing what they're doing and how important it is. And so what I try to do is to let them see it from the bottom up and let them see it from the top down, that every piece is important. The guy that's making, you know, the contact as far as leasing a floor, you know, the leasing agent. You know, they come in and everybody thinks they're prima donna. You know, operations always has to look at leasing and say, oh, they come in and, you know, they say do this, and snap their finger and money gets poured in. You know, why can't we get this project done or this project done? But you have to look at it from the leasing standpoint, is that if we don't lease up, you know, a commercial office building, then nobody gets paid.
Right. Exactly.
If you don't have tenants, you know, occupying that 500,000 square foot building, nobody gets paid. You know, operations get laid off from the senior member down to the lowest person that parks cars, you know, in the garage. Nobody's getting paid. And so when leasing comes in, yes, it's something where they you know, get things done, and they can tell people certain things. I need this done in order to lease up a building. And so what I try to get people to understand is, from that standpoint, is that we have to work together. We have to understand how important leasing is to operations, and we have to understand how important, you know, everything we do is to the corporate headquarters, and in particular as far as reporting, as far as, you know, energy efficiency, as far as your carbon footprint, all those things. You know, people are like, why we got to do this? Why is this necessary? Why is this person taking this or telling this? But when you understand that plays an important role, it's positioning yourself as a global company or as a local company that is Energy Star, that's you know, carbon, you know, conscious, that, you know, provides certain things for, you know, the community as a whole. You have, when you understand all that and people start understanding that, you know, that's just the example in corporate America, but you also have the example in any spiritual ministry. When people understand every aspect from top to bottom or bottom to the top, then what happens is working together becomes more manageable to them, because they understand their role, what they're playing, what they're doing, how it affects the top line and the bottom line. And as a leader, I found that's what really has to be brought across to people, to understand that, you know, if you don't work, you know, all of us go down. We're just as good as the bottom line, the man that's taking the ticket and somebody leaving out the door, as far as giving them the correct change, as far as, you know, the valet parking your car correctly, as far as the cleanliness of the bathrooms, as far as the, you know, the welcome, you know, from the church clerk during the service, the bulletin that's given out to them, the program, or any of that stuff. All of that has to be understood so that people won't mind working together, realizing that, you know, I can't do it on my own. I need to support every area of the organization or of the ministry in order for it to be successful. And when you begin to start having that concept, I think then you can move forward in whatever organization you're in.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can't, you know, one thing, whether it's ministry or business, you can't be about self, because if you're about self, then, you know, nothing's going to get done, you know, because it's just a one-man team, one-man effort or whatever, and, you know, it's not benefiting anyone. You know, if you're trying to do everything by yourself, it's not going to benefit anybody. But if you're able to see the bigger picture,
right,
and like you said, and able to see that, you know, from the ground man to the one that sits all the way at the top, everybody has a role to play, and everyone's role affects the other individual. you know, and that's the absolute truth. Whether it's a business, whether it's a ministry, whatever, you know, everybody's role is important as the next person's, because one without the other can't work.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like your body parts. What good is your hand if it's not connected to your wrist? You know, what good is your foot if you ain't got an ankle? What good is your leg if you ain't got a knee? You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
You know, we are dependent on one another so that we can function properly. No, you know, I think in high school we read some type of sonnet that says, no man is an island of his own, and that is so very true. So
that's
very true. You can't function in this world by yourself. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what education you got. It doesn't matter. You can't function as an island. So you have to be able to relate and work with one another in order to maximize your potential. That's the only way you maximize your potential. You got to be willing to work with somebody. Got to work with somebody. So, you know, but you bring up a good point, and then, you know, talking about the bigger picture and understanding that everybody's role plays a part. You know, you look at a football team, you look at a basketball team. You know, yeah, you ain't LeBron James, but guess what? The guy that puts LeBron James uniform in his locker every day for the game is just as important.
I was talking about the NASCAR race, Joe Gibbs race we won tonight.
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's right.
And it took everyone to I think it was Stewart won with the Interstate. But it takes all of that from Joe Gibbs down to the man that's purchasing the tires, getting them on the rim, getting them inflated right. You know,
yep.
the crew, all of that.
Crew down there putting the gas in the car and cleaning the windshield and changing up the tires and everything. I mean, everybody has an important role to play. You know, everybody. You know, whether you're visible part of the team or you just a person behind the team, but everybody is just as important, because the ironic thing is, when a team wins the championship, everybody gets a ring. Everybody gets a ring from the people that work the businesses, from the people that work, you know, the team managers and all of that.
If I'm riding the bench, I'm going to get a ring.
If you ride the bench, you're going to get a ring because you're still part of the team, son. You know, and that's the way you have to look at it. Just like you said, if we don't do what we need to do, nobody gets paid. If we do what we need to do, everybody gets paid. And that's the mindset that you have to have, especially in churches, you know, to realize that, you know, if we do this together, everybody's going to get blessed, not just
that's
one
right.
individual.
That's right.
You know, but we so into trying to just get our own individual
blessings. Oh, my goodness.
And wanting God just to bless us and be like, I ain't worried about nobody else. It's just about
Jesus. Goodness.
But you should want everybody to take a part in this ministry, so that everybody can be blessed. It can be a holistic blessing. You know, that's the whole church.
I was laughing because yesterday we're doing some spring cleaning here at our house, and we had a load to go to the local dump. And man, if we didn't have people that knew what they were doing with our trash, a lot of times people just take it to the curb, that's all that's trash. It takes trash out, put it on the curb, you know.
Right.
But if you ever visited the local dump, you got to get a truck to get there and get up the hill. We have some old bicycles, computer equipment, exercise equipment, just metal and, you know, old freezers and stuff. And you can leave it out for bulk pickup. But, you know, it makes the neighborhood look bad. And so, you know, we run into U-Haul, and we went up to the top of the hill. First, you put the scrap down at the metal down at the bottom of the hill, and appliances at another part. And you have somewhere that's you have a guy there that's organizing it, making sure the right stuff goes the right stuff. Then you go to the top of the hill for all the rest of the trash. You got these huge movers. You got these big movers, earth movers. And they're pushing trash down that comes from everybody's trash, man. And we got vultures up there. They got pipes that you got to avoid, that off gases, the methane gas that comes up, and you got people directing traffic, and it's an amazing process. And you have to back up in a certain area, and all of this has to be controlled so that all the trash that, you know, that's produced in the county of Prince George's County can be put in this area where it doesn't give off, you know, leaching into the ground or you know, poisonous gas. But it's a managed system. Trash is a managed system. And it involves everyone from the guy that's standing out there in boots directing people where to put off trash. He sits up there all day long as his shift to direct trucks and people where to put trash. And it's stinking, and you got vultures there. But if he's not there, what happens is, you know, wrong things get put in the wrong place, gases get built up, and you have a catastrophe on your hand. But they're up there doing it. And my hat goes off to these guys, man, because the short period of time we was up there unloading our stuff, it was like, oh, my goodness. Ain't no way in the world I could do this all day long for 8 hours.
And, I mean, and you're right. I mean, those are things that we often take for granted, like, you know, trash. You know, we just know we just put our trash in the trash can and set it on the curb, and that's it. We don't know nothing else about what happens, but it's a process, and it's a role that everybody has to play. We just see the trash. We see the trash truck. We see the brothers or whoever get off the truck and put the trash in the back of the truck and put the cans back on the curb, and that's it until next week. You know, that's it. That's all we know. We don't know anything else, but when you go and see the process, like I know my brother works at WSSC, and we talk about the filtration plant. He said, "Dude, you just think you flushing the toilet." But he said, "It's a process." You know, you like you just flush the toilet, and you go wash your hands, and you go on about your business. He say, "The flushing of the toilet is just the first step. There's a process."
Yes,
you know, the all of that water and sanitizing the water and all. I mean, he said it's a complete process, and people don't understand that, you know. And I said, we just see one little aspect of it, that, you know, we run the water in the sink, or we run the water in the bathtub, or we flush the toilet. That's all we see. We don't see anything else, like what happens to the water after it shuts off, or after it goes to the drain, or blah, blah, blah. We don't really understand that process. But, you know, like you say, everything is a process.
Everybody's got to work together. You got to work together on that. If the trash men and the sanitation people and, like you said, the water people didn't work together, we'd be in trouble, Doc.
Be in trouble. You know, and this world would be a very unsafe and unhealthy place. So, you know, it's good to know that we got people that know how to work together, you know. Work together. Everybody's not functioning as an individual or functioning as their own entity, but everybody is working together. It's like a collaborative effort, and that's the way that it should be. You know, it shouldn't be, you know, my church, your church. It should be all of us working together regardless of our name. You know, that's the way it should be. You know, we are one body in Christ. That's what it says. You know, it didn't say it's just God or it's new birth or it's just whoever, you know, we all should be working collaboratively to help the process of bringing people closer to Christ or helping strengthen people, you know, and helping people to, you know, become stronger in the Lord and stronger in their faith and closer in their walk with Christ. Those are the things that all churches should be working on and working together, you know, and bouncing ideas, you know, one church to another church, or one pastor to another pastor. We see y'all do this. What do y'all do? Well, maybe we should get together and come together and try something together or whatever. You know, but we're so scared to do that type stuff, you know, because we're in such competition. We're trying to compete with one another instead of trying to work with one another.
We got this.
Y'all ain't got this. We got more members in the choir than y'all do. And that's, I'm like, no, it's not about that. I say we should just be trying to work together, you know, at the end of the day to lift up one another. But, you know, the sad part is that we've completely gotten away from that, and it's just become churches are just entities, you know, and it's just like a church battle. We got the most members, so we got this, but we got that. And at the end of the day, how many souls are you bringing to Christ? That's the most important thing. It ain't about what type of possessions or how big your sanctuary is. You know, that's not what it's about.
It's tough, man. It's tough, but it all boils down to, are we working together? Are we trying to do it all by ourselves? And if we're not working together and we're trying to do it all by ourselves, we're ineffective. We're not effective at every level of organization. You can't be successful. And so, like I said, the guy that was on top of the hill running the trash, oh my goodness. The guy that's at sanitation plant running the filtration, oh my goodness. You know, the person that's, you know, cleaning the church, the person that's, you know, paying the bills and you know, doing things in any organization, you know, those are the unseen people that actually keep things running, that actually keep, you know, the people that are top, the people that are front going. You look at the schedule that President Obama had. If he didn't have people around him, you know, this recent trip to Israel, he had to have an advanced team that goes and makes security and stuff prepared wherever he goes. It's safe. You have to have, you know, land, air, sea, you know, ground protection. You got to have all of this going across the sea. I'm sure they had aircraft carriers there. I'm sure they had, you know, all of this stuff that's involved, you know, just for this 4-day trip, you know, to the Mideast. And, you know, like you said earlier, no man is an island. We have to work together. You can't do it by. Can you imagine President Obama trying to get over the Mideast to meet with these countries, you know, with about two or three folk?
Right.
it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And what happened is by the time he got there, he'd be so wore out and tired that he couldn't provide the duty that he wants to do, that he was supposed to do. And that's what happens in leadership. Leadership becomes ineffective when they're trying to do everything, and people have to understand that behind the scenes, you know, is a lot of times more important than the 4 or 5 minutes that the guy's going to talk.
Exactly. Yep. And I mean, and that's just the end result right there. Him standing up there talking for 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, it's a long, drawn out process just to get to him standing behind that podium. Mm-hmm. That mic to talk for 5 or 10 minutes to a group of people. It's a, you know, and it's a process that oftentimes takes several days and sometimes even several weeks.
Right.
You know, just to get
just
to that just for him to be at a specific location at a specific time talking to a specific group of people. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, what goes into just that, you know, just that one thing that he does, you know, it's just amazing. And so, you know, like you say, but one person can't do it. You know, it's a team. You know, it's a team effort. It's a collaborative effort. You know, and everybody has a role to play. You know, everybody, even down to the person that says, "Oh, Obama, wear this tie today with this suit." I mean, come on,
right?
That you know what I'm saying? It's just down to the very fine details. Everybody has, you know, an important role and part to play in whatever process. And I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, first and foremost, understand that, you know, you can't do it by yourself.
Not at all.
Secondly, know that everybody does have a part to play. And
yep.
And I think the third thing is to know that the part that you play
Uh-oh.
Is just as important as anybody else's part. You know, everybody's not going to be the pastor. Everybody's not going to be the preacher.
Nope.
You know, but guess what? Your role in the church is just as important. We need deacons. We need trustees. We need ushers. We need choir members. We need missionaries. I mean, we need all of that. We need Sunday school teachers. All of those roles are very important, because if we didn't have them, then the church wouldn't be able to function.
Right.
So you need those people, you know, in those roles and those positions to help out as much as possible, you know, and let them know that, hey, you know what, I may not have the, you know, the the glitz and glamour position of of whatever. But guess what? My role is just as important. And if I wasn't here, then I know that, you know, this body wouldn't be able to function properly.
Right. So it's got to be from the top down and from the bottom up. Everybody has to work together, and everybody has to realize we can't do it all by ourselves. We're setting ourselves up for defeat, failure, frustration, drama. But, you know, if we can get that in our heads, in our spirits, then I think that we would be better off as a community. We would experience more wellness as a community just by understanding if we work together, realize we can't do it by ourselves. That puts us a whole lot further down the road than getting stuck with, this is me, this is you, you did this to me, I did this to you, I can't do this, you can't do this. And, you know, chasing our tail, it's just not going to work.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Red B, that was a quick, man, time went by fast.
Yep. Just before we get off the air, I just want to thank all of our very fine listeners, as always, for listening in. And don't forget, you can always check us out, blogtalkradio.com. You can go back, check out the website, Pastors Aid CDC, and listen to all of the shows. And don't forget T-Nuts, Thursday night at 8. And I also just want to give a big shout-out to Agape Missionary Baptist Church out there in Suitland for having my brothers keep in unity on Friday. We had a blessed time. Big shout-out to Pastor Gumry and all of the fine people over there. And, of course, got to give a big shout-out to my home church, New Birth Baptist, and Pastor Gregory, First Lady Sheila G., as always. And we're getting ready for Good Friday service, so we're excited about that as well. Yep, getting ready for that. So I just want to give a shout-out to everybody, of course. Big shout out to you, Pastor C, for everything you continue to do, and just continue to support. Ask everybody to continue to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC here on Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Well, he said now that you got the resources, you need to get connected.
God bless everyone tonight.
All right. Talk to you.